seek you.
Hallelujah. I want to check out Psalms also. Ezekiel 13:10. I got chapter 10. There you go. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Now I've preached along this line before. Well, I mean, I've used this scripture before, but it seemed like it come back to me this afternoon, so you either got to go with what you got, or you just, I don't know, I just can't preach these book messages. I just can't pull out something out of a book and preach it. So I'm just going to preach the way I feel and the way I feel like the Lord dealt with me. Saying to them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall, and there shall be an overflowing shower, and great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. And then it said in verse 12, lo, when the wind, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Now, there's a lot of young people and a lot of people everywhere that are trying to live a Christian life, but they're not trying to live the Bible, and it don't work. And I want to say this, you've got to go all the way with the Lord. You've got to build the way the Lord says to build. This thing is built on prayer and fasting. You've got to keep going back. You've got to keep on. I was praying downstairs, and I got to thinking about the youth group I was in. That was Brother Joy Hyatt, was my youth leader. And I've told you all the story, how he even said I wouldn't make it, but I'm still here because I realized that what I was trying to do was take a hold of the world and take a hold of God too. It don't ever work. It never will work. And I want to say this, we've got to realize we're building something. We're building a foundation, then we're building something for the Lord. We're preparing ourselves for heaven. And I begin to think about the young people we had in our youth group. We've got Kim Korn, who's now Kim Akers, who's over in Venezuela. We had Vicky Korn, who's now Vicky Stevens, who's down in Alabama with her husband Doug, who is also one of our young people. We've got me and Mark. We've got Pete Buell. We've got Kevin Willis, who has now came back to the Lord and is preaching the gospel. In fact, he's taking care of a church tonight in Kentucky, a holiness preacher. We've got Ronnie Imhoff, who's come back to the Lord. And I could go on and on and on. We know other ones. No doubt I'm forgetting some. We've got Berkeley, who stayed, and I thank God for him staying. Dwayne has come back. And you know what? Dwayne will testify and tell you, if you don't build upon the things of God, if you just take church lightly and you don't realize, you know what tempered mean? It means that it's got some strength behind it. It's been put through the fire and tempered. And you know, I may not preach this exactly like somebody told me after I preached it here, that Brother Collins had taught on it too. I don't know all those things. I preached a message one time in Virginia or North Carolina. A man walked up to me from Maine. He said, Brother Mike, you don't know this, but B.D. Southern preached along the same lines back in 1979 or 1980. Or 81. Well, I can't help that, Brother Gary. This is the gospel, and it's worth repeating. And if God deals with my heart, I don't believe in preaching somebody else's themes, but glory to God, if something stirs my heart like it did when Brother Mike Allen preached last night, I enjoyed that message. And I want to tell you, young people, you keep playing games with God, passing notes when people's trying to preach, trying to make people laugh, when other people are trying to sing. This ain't no joke. This ain't no game. We're trying to make heaven, and we're trying to get you prepared to meet God. Glory to God. We've had some funerals around here, and it's got people stirred. But I want to tell you, age has no difference with death, and you've got to be prepared. What is it, Brother Mike? Here's what I want. I want somebody in Psalms 94 and verse 16 who will rise up for the Lord and stand against these evildoers, and who will stand against the workers of iniquity. Somebody that will stand in these last days. We don't have no midweek youth service here. I've never asked Brother Collins if he's never offered. But I want to tell you, I feel like talking to some young people. If it hits your category, then you just go ahead and say amen. But I want to say this. We still believe holiness. We still believe in living godly. We still believe in living right. We still believe in walking right. We still believe in abstaining, glory to God, from the fleshly lust of this world. We believe in denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We believe we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You know why I believe that the choir, Brother Paul, of my generation could get up and sing "He Ain't Never" and the Holy Ghost take over and that'd be all it was for the rest of the night? Well, yes, it's still happening, Brother Mike. But I want to tell you, it's because Brother Hyatt said, we are a spirit-filled holiness youth group. We're going to wear uniforms. We're going to wear black pants for the boys and white shirts. The women are going to wear black dresses, white blouses, and have a black vest they're going to wear. And we're going to go and sing in churches. You know why we was invited to churches? Because we looked right. They wasn't afraid of us behind their pulpit. They wasn't afraid to let us on the roster. And I want to tell you, young people, I've been getting phone calls and I've been making engagement dates to take you with me as I go to preach. But if you come dressed ungodly, if you come dressed not looking like a Christian should look, I'll make you sit on the pew. You will not get up and be a part of my youth group as I preach God's Bible and be a contradiction to what I preach. I'm not being smart. I don't think I'm anything. When the pastor asked me to take this position, I didn't give him an answer for 2 weeks because I wanted to be in the center of God's will. I was making it all right on the evangelistic field. In fact, I've had to cancel revivals, and I'm not wanting to go back out. I feel like I'm right in the center of God's will, but if he says go and God says go, I will go. I told Norma, Brother Colin says, we don't need you no longer. Her mom's passed. I said, I love y'all. You'll still be my home church, but I'll be gone. But in my heart, I feel like I still need to be here. I still feel like I'm in the center of God's will. Now, I'm not, because there's been a lot of talk going around. What am I going to do next? I don't know myself, Brother Gary, but I want to be in the center of God's will. And I want to tell some young people, it's time to shape up. It's time to determine in your heart. How many of you don't have the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. All right, I love you. But get in those altars. You can get the Holy Ghost besides the little week in July or June when the youth camp is. Hallelujah. God can move. God can bless. I want to see you hungering for it. I want to see you desiring it. I want to see you getting in there. Why, Brother Mike? Because we are going out. I'm part of the youth group. And I was bragging on our youth group. Let me tell you something. I'm part of the youth group that was invited before Brother Hyatt became our youth leader. We were invited to go sing in a church. And we were all excited. I was playing bass. They did me, boy. I was the star of the show. No, I just think we'd be playing the bass. Couldn't do that good a job, but I like trying. And Brother Collins got up. He said, because every one of us boys had long hair. I thought I was pretty good. I had hair halfway over my ears. We don't really have that problem nowadays, you know, with the young boys, because the style is not long hair. But hallelujah. He said, you are not going nowhere. You bunch of young-haired hippies. He may not have said those exact words, but that's the message I got in my heart when he got done talking to us that day. I mean, he just let the air out of my bubble. I was so happy to go. He said, you're not going, because when you go out of these doors, you're representing this church, and you're representing this church's ministry, and its doctrine, and its standard, and you're not going to go out there representing something that's not what we're teaching. And I thought, oh God, you know what it done? We didn't get mad and quit. We went and got a haircut, and we moved on up a little bit closer because we wanted to live for God. Well, amen, Brother Mike. I can't reach my back too good anymore, but amen, Brother Mike. It's right, whether you don't like it or not, it's right. It is right. Where's the scripture I want? Jimmy, give me Romans 12:1. By the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Thank you, Jimmy. It's reasonable to live for God. It's reasonable. Why? We don't want you to be a casualty. You know not how many pastors have sat down with tears in their eyes to me? I'll tell you one example. I was taken out to eat by Brother Lee Strickler, and we was book hunting. I was there preaching for him, and his wife had taken my wife and girls to the thrift store, and he took me book hunting. And he sat there at that Ponderosa restaurant buying my meal, and he began to cry. He said, "Mike, them girls that treated me like their papa," he said, "all of a sudden they got up in teenage years and they got to want to know what went on outside the church walls, and they want to start missing church." And he said, "Mike, they messed your life up, and now they come crying to me. Their life's a mess. They've made mistakes. They've been an unwed mother. I'm in life's all messed up. All because they got to just play in church and not caring what was going on in the service and being rebellious." And he started crying. He said, "Mike, they come to me sometimes and they went so far out into the world I don't even recognize them." It's sad. It is sad. Well, I got a call from Virginia today while I was studying. Brother Bobby Roadcap called me, Brother Collins. He said, "Tell you hello." He just questioned me how he's doing in the loss of Norma's mom. And I'm thankful I got friends, young people. But you know what? Those friends tell me when I need told what's right. Well, I didn't know whether this was going to preach or not. Maybe it ain't. But I want to tell you, I love you. I love you. People say, "I never get to talk to Brother Mike and Sister Norma." Well, it ain't that we're patting ourselves on the back. But don't you all that have a burden for this youth and for this church, don't you love working them altars? There were some of the young people this morning. I watched all them girls going back to another one of the young ladies that was getting help from God. I like that, young ladies. But don't just always come around and pray for somebody else. You know, you can pray all you want to standing, but every once in a while, you got to get low before the Lord. C.A. Spurgeon said, "Don't come to the Lord with fancy speech. A beggar don't need fine clothes." I'm telling you, you better come poor and needy. You better come telling God, "Lord, I'm doing all I could do, and I want to make it to heaven. And I want to live right. And I want to do right. And God, I can't make it without you." It takes prayer. It takes prayer. It takes a desire. I begin to think about how Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried. Well, it wasn't the wall that heard his prayer. It was God. But can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? We better be thankful that there's a few walls that don't hear what you are playing on your tape recorders. That you better be thankful there's a few walls that don't hear what you say behind mom and daddy's back. It's hindering you from getting the blessing of God because of that rebellion that wells up in you. It's very serious. I've been guilty myself, but I'm so thankful, Brother Tommy, if you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, He'll quicken you. And mom and dad, let me give you a little hint. After I resigned my church, the new pastor come to me after we visited the old church one day. He said, "Well, Brother Barker, I can tell you've not been talking about me." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because your little kids kept coming up and hugging me and still treating me right." And I said, "Whoo, that's right. I've had little people that loved me, and all of a sudden mom and daddy got mad at me." I'm not talking to you. I don't think they was from this church. I hope not. And then all of a sudden, here comes Mike and Sister Norma, still happy and smiling, still the old jolly guy that I am. And they don't want to be around us. They act like we're the plague. It lets me know mommy and daddy's been talking behind some closed doors. Oh, glory to God. We better be careful now. We better careful. My sister is the kindergarten Sunday school teacher here at this church. And you ought to be amazed what some of the little kids tell my sister. One lady here in the church was telling us today, she said, my little girl was putting in requests, said, "Pray for my mommy. She lies." Well, her mommy don't lie, but she'd had a little hurt on her finger, and her mommy told her, "So let me fix that. We got to get it fixed." And she said, "Well, it hurt." Mommy said, "No, it won't hurt," but it did hurt. So now the little girl thinks that mommy lies. flies. Well, you know, you better be careful. I've had a little kick with my, I've been having a little fun here lately around this church. I've been going to some of the young people. And I say, does your mom and daddy holler when they get mad at each other? Do they yell at each other? Does mom and daddy scream at each other when they get mad? You know, young people, they just tell the truth. Oh, glory to God. But I want to tell you, brother, we want to make heaven, don't we, Brother Ronnie? We want to make it. We've got a determination, and I want as many as it can go with me. I've determined in my heart. I've been taught stronger, too, than I feel a lot of young people in this church by my pastor. But it did not make me weak. It did not make me quit. I got down on my knees and said, God, I am determined that I'm going to go all the way. I'm not turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me. God, I'm going all the way. Hallelujah. Little Milton, black gospel singer. No. Black blues rock and roll singer. I stole this from somebody else. Sung a song that said, if walls could talk, I'm sure you'd hear a lot of things that would make you cry. Now let me tell you right there, when we was going to go evangelizing, I didn't know my wife had prayed this. Brother Collins didn't know my wife had prayed this. Nobody knew that my wife had prayed this. She got alone in the house, being a homemaker, me at work and the kids at school. She began to cry. And she quoted some scriptures out of Psalms when she prayed. And Brother Collins got up during the week of Don Richards' revival in 1997, that July week, and said, I was praying for Mike and Norma this week and today, and God gave me this scripture. He quoted the very scripture my wife had prayed when nobody was around. He didn't do that for me. I said, oh, that's a pretty scripture. But my wife started crying. I thought, what's going on? And after the service, she told me, said, Mike, that's the very words I prayed when nobody else heard me cry. God heard my prayer. God heard me cry. I want to say this. I've been preaching along a kind of a strict line. But young people, you may be saying the wrong things behind the door. You may be listening to the wrong things behind the door. But also, brothers and sisters, if you're honest before God, you get alone in that closet of prayer. You don't have to tell nobody else. Just tell God. He'll hear you. He'll answer your prayer. He'll meet you in the time of need, in the time of trouble. He said there's a lot of things that would make us cry. Now, ain't you glad? Well, you ought to be glad that walls don't talk. If cars could say who or what's been taken for a ride, well, ain't you glad cars can't talk? You know, we wasn't supposed to be down there outside of Germantown in Mom and Dad's little Nova, but I was. Had Ben Kramer and Ken Maloney with me. We picked up a hitchhiker, and the Nova started running out of gas. It was a six-cylinder Nova. Ben Kramer said, Mike, don't stop that thing. We was on Route 4, right up there where Brother Stetch is building that new church. He said, don't you stop that thing, Mike. At that time, the closest gas station was down in Post Town at what was called a King Quick. We start pumping that gas, and we get a little spurts. We were spurting on down the highway. And we spurted all the way. And we got there to where the gas station was. And he said, Mike, don't you stop. And I was trying to brake jacket. He was pumping the gas, and I was brake jacking. And we got a break in traffic, and we went lunging into that parking lot. And the old lady was reading the pumps. She stuck off running because she thought we was going to hit the pumps. And when we done that, we busted one of Dad's springs in the back. So the Nova come running home, and the lie got longer, Brother Dale, and Dad got madder. And you know what? I wish so much that I hadn't listened to some friends. I'd have saved Dad a lot of expense. I'd have saved myself a lot of expense and a lot of heartache. You know, there's some places you don't have no business knowing what goes on in. It don't do you no good whatsoever. I got interested in what a cave looked like after dark until one time me and Mark and my friend Clifford Hurst, who's a pastor now, and Jeff Cantwell went in that cave after dark. Rob, don't go in a cave after dark. There's things that come out that don't come come out during the daytime. You say, "My brother Mike, it's dark down there." I don't care if it's dark all day long. There's some things that like to hide during our daylight hours, and there's some things that only come out at dark. And I want to tell you, children of the light, there's things in this world you have no business knowing anything about. You don't need to see how close you can get. You don't see how much close you can rub shoulders with. You need to get as far away from them as you can. Things come out, brother, that wasn't usually coming out. I've been in there in the daytime all the time. Had a great time. The brother, that night, we went in at dusk. The bats came out on us. They were attacking us. Now, we're teenagers. I turned 20 in Kilgore, Texas. I turned 21 in Neosho, Missouri. I thought I was a man. But brother, I was doing some crying. Mark was doing some crying. Jeff Cantwell was going into hysterical fits. He said, "They're in my hair." He was kicking Mark on his shoulders because we had to crawl through a little hole. And I said, "Jeff, calm down. You're going to get us killed." And I thought, "Oh God, don't let these lights go out. Don't let these batteries go out. God, I've made a bad mistake. But it's a lot closer to go all the way out than to turn around and face them things again." I don't know whether it worked or not. They tell me bats are blind. But I held my flashlight high. I said, "I'd much rather him attack my hand than attack my head." But you know what? We shimmied out on our back, on the backside of that mountain. I said, "God, never again. Never again. Never again." Brother Gary, there's things that there's no business. You say, "Well, just one little time, one little thrill." You may never get back home again. You may never get back home again. Young people, I want to see you do something for God. I want to see the power of God fall as you're singing. I want you to say, "Brother Mark, let me testify. There's something burning inside." I want to see a young man come to me and say, "Brother Mark, I feel like God's calling me to preach." I want somebody to say, "Brother Mike, what can I do? I want to bring friends in. I want to show them that we're living the best life you could ever live." Hallelujah. If your shoes could tell where you have been when they claim to be somewhere visiting a friend, ain't you glad? Well, ain't you glad? Shoes don't talk. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. In a world of you'd be, SEO, I messed my words up. In a world of trouble you'd be if things were ever told on thee, because I've been guilty. How about you? If things ever talked that way, ain't no telling what they'd say. Well, I'm so glad that they don't talk. Ain't you? I want to say this. We've had some young people been told, and I don't know if it's here or other churches, they would take our good Pentecostal preaching tapes, erase them, and put rock and roll on them. Put their headphones on, listen to rock and roll. Being hid to mom and dad, but not being hid to God. Oh, glory to God. You may think you're hiding things. I mean, I've been around people that even told me later, they said, "Brother Mike, I smoked." I didn't know they smoked. They could hide that smell so good. I didn't know they smoked. I wasn't inspecting them anyway. I was just wanting to see them go on for God. Somebody said about a young man who used to sit right up here in the front, "You was pretty hard on him, Brother Mike." Well, I'd get to preaching and feel the unction of the Lord, and I'd point at him. "You going to be here next time?" Because he had no humility about him. He'd come walking in right from the bar the night before with a Bible in his hand. "Preach it, Pastor. Preach it, Pastor." I thought, "My God, ain't you got no sorrow for him? Aren't you full of humility? Aren't you sorry for what you've done last night?" But you know, the seat's empty right now because of that very attitude he had. He just picked God up when he wanted, put God down when he didn't want him. It don't work that way. He's building with untempered mortar. He's daubing his building with untempered mortar. There's going to be a wind come blowing. There's going to be a storm come along. And it's going to be shaking. It's going to fall. I'm telling you what, we need to get a hold of God in these last days. We need to make our mind up. We're going to live for God above everything else. You say, "Brother Mike, I can't do it." Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I said, "Yes, you can." Right. That's the very truth right there. You've got to. I told Dwayne yesterday, he was out in that parking lot all day long cleaning. And I'm proud of Dwayne. But I told him, I said, "Man, you've got to hold on. I've got to hold on. We everyone have trouble. We everyone have trials. But I want to say this, you be honest with God. You don't think it's because you get behind a closed door in a secret place that God don't know about it. God knows about it. And I want you to get a fear of God. And I want you to do all you can to live for God. We're not playing games. We are not playing games. We are going to be going to a church on February the 14th. I am preaching. If you're going to go with us, you're going to live and look and dress and act like a Pentecostal holiness young person. You're not going to go there making jokes. You're not going to go there making a game out of it. It is serious. We're going there to have church. I like having good times. That's for the fellowship hall. That's for recreation. But when we get in church, we're here to have church. I've heard of stories of young people passing notes during the preaching. I've heard of stories of young people in this church making faces while other young people up there trying to sing, trying to make that person laugh. What good does that do? We're trying to get in one mind, one accord, and let God come down and bless the service. You're trying to show discord. You're trying to be a disturbance. I'm not picking nobody. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. There's a church in Virginia. I feel like I'm holiness. But they inspect you so strong. Makes you almost afraid to go by. But they're great people. But they're preaching it right. And they're not going to let a double standard up on the pulpit, behind the pulpit, preaching or ministering in their church. And being a double standard. So I want to say this, young people. I want you to give your life to the Lord. I want you to be a success for God. You mean evangelizing? No, I do not. I mean doing whatever God wants you to do. I was satisfied when God told me knock on doors. I was satisfied delivering potato chips and pioneering a little church. I was satisfied when God said, leave that job and go evangelize them. And I'm satisfied whatever God wants me to do, I will do it. Hallelujah. I don't have no pride that I can't go and cut down weeds or paint a house. I asked Brother Todd the other day, I said, have you got your favorite hoe when you was in here? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I know that I'm going to feel like I'm back home at mom and dad's when the garden time comes. Because I want to be up there. Oh, glory to God. He ain't saying nothing about that. Well, I don't know. Anyway, hallelujah. I want to do right. I want to be right. I want to live right. How do you do it, Brother Mike? You come to the cross. You come to the cross. You give God your life. You die out to the things of this world. Hallelujah. You make that cross a place of death where you die out from old habits and pride and the love of this world. You make that cross a place of deliverance where you lay your burdens down, where you lay the things you say, I can't get victory over. Oh, yes, you can. The problem is you keep going by the graveyard and pulling the old man back out. But you need to go by and say, I said, stay down there. You need to learn how to die daily. You need to how to crucify the flesh. Glory to God. If you do that, it'll become a place of delight. Living for the Lord is not a burden. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I love it. In fact, it's been almost 20 years. I ain't done the best. But like I preached up at Paul Blanton's church, Lord, I'll try. And that's all God requires of us. It's 7 o'clock straight up. I don't know your heart, but God does. God knows your desires. Let's all find a place to pray. Talk to God a while. I love you. Yes, I love you. And more than I love you, God loves you. And He wants to see you make heaven your home.